begin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on the three fundamental principles in Islam, and we have reached the third matter, or the third level, and the third level is al-ihsan, and it is literally means to do well or perfectly. Literally means to do well or perfectly, and it's a single pillar. The author rahimahullah said, "Al-martabatu al-thalitha, the third level is al-ihsan, ruknun wahid, which is a single pillar." وقال رحمه الله, and he said, وهو أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك والدليل قوله تعالى إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون وقوله وتوكل على العزيز الرحيم الذي يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين إنه هو السميع العليم وقوله وما تكون في شأن وما تتلو منه من قرآن ولا تعملون من عمل إلا كنا عليكم شهودا إذ تفيضون فيه. The third level is al-ihsan, which literally means to do well or perfectly. It is a single pillar, which is that you worship Allah as if you were seeing Him. And even though you don't see Him, then certainly He certainly sees you. And the proof is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 128. قال الله تعالى إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون. Allah is with those who fear Him and keep away from that which He has forbidden. And those who are people of ihsan, meaning those who do well in carrying out whatever He has obligated, taking care of His rights and being constant in obedience to Him. And also the evidence is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And also in Surah Al-Shura, Surah Al-Shura, 26 verses 2 and 7 till 220. وتوكل على العزيز الرحيم الذي يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين إنه هو السميع العليم. And place your reliance and put your trust in the Almighty, the Most Merciful, who sees you when you stand up alone at night for tahajjud prayers, and your movements among those who fall prostrate along with you to Allah in the five compulsory congregational prayers. Verily He, Allah, only He is the All-Hearer, All-Knower. And also in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the evidence is in Surah Yunus as well, in 1061. في قوله تعالى وما تكون في شأن وما تتلو منه من قرآن ولا تعملون من عمل إلا كنا عليكم شهودا إذ تفيضون فيه. Whatever you may be doing and whatever portion you may be reciting from the Quran, whatever deed you mankind may be doing, good or evil, we are witness thereof when you are doing it, and nothing is hidden from your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the author rahimahullah cited for the third level, and this is the level of ihsan, the level of ihsan. And the ihsan in origin is of two types. Ihsan in origin is of two types: to do well or perfectly well regarding the worship of Allah, and this is what is intended in the words of the author here, and also the ihsan in terms of the being good to people and fulfilling people's rights. And this type itself is of two types: an obligatory one, meaning you fulfill what's dutiful upon you towards them in the most perfect way, like for example the relation, the duties towards the parents and the kinship, and being just in all forms of transactions. And from this also, from this type, falls also under this type, is the action of goodness towards cattle and animals, in terms of, for example, slaughtering or killing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained ihsan upon everything. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. Now, if you kill, then kill correctly and perfectly and in good way. And also, if you slaughter, and if you slaughter, and the second type, is the recommendable ihsan, the recommendable, the praiseworthy, and this is something extra to the obligatory, one. This is exerting one's physical ability or wealth or knowledge to help others who need it. All of this that we have mentioned falls under the category of ihsan. All of this falls under the category of ihsan. And the greatest in terms of the ihsan towards people is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, doing good to those who may have done bad to you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verses 34 and 35. قال الله تعالى ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. The good deed and the evil deed cannot be equal. Repel the evil with one which is better. So Allah ordered the faithful believers to be patient at the time of anger and to excuse those who treat them badly. Then verily he between whom and you there was enmity will become as though he was a close friend. But none is granted it this quality except those who are patient, and none is granted except the owner of the great portion of the happiness in the hereafter. And this is in paradise. And in this world, the person who is qualified with high moral character. So, in the general sense, ihsan is opposite of behaving badly. And it means to strive to do what is good and to repel harmful things. From that is benefiting people through wealth, position, knowledge, and also in one's own personality, in himself. So with wealth, one spends and gives in charity and pays the zakah. And the best when it comes to wealth is the giving of zakah, because zakah is one of the pillars of Islam and is one of its great foundations. And it is the charity most loved by Allah the Most High. And it is followed also by that which is obligatory upon a person to spend upon his wife, his mother, his father, his children, the brothers, the children of his brothers, the sisters, the paternal uncles, the paternal aunts, maternal aunts, and so on. Then the charity given to the poor and to the rest of those deserving of charity. Like, for example, given to the people of ilm, the students of knowledge, and so forth. Now, how can one do ihsan or do good by means of his own position. And this is very possible because people differ in terms of their level and in terms of their status. Some may have effective authority, and therefore they may strive to benefit people by means of their authority and in a just way, not in a way which is based upon desires. So if a person comes and requests that he intercedes for him with people in authority, then he does so either to repel some harm from him or to attain some good for him. Also, someone may exert goodness by spreading knowledge, passing knowledge in private way, in classes, in public gatherings, teaching people their deen and teaching them what is beneficial. However, as our Shaykh rahimahullah stressed, he said, wisdom is to be used in this matter. Wisdom is to be used in this matter. So one should not weary the people, making it a habit that every single time he sits in a gathering, he goes to admonish and address the people. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, used to give them admonition now and then, and not too frequently. Why? Because the souls become weary and bored. And when they become bored, they become languid and weak, and may even come to dislike what is good, merely because of the frequency with which the person stands and addresses them. Now, on the other hand, how can one benefit people with one's person? In many ways. In fact, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that you help a man to mount and ride his riding beast, or you lift up his luggage on it for him, is a charity. And this is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. So you can help people fulfilling their needs, carrying their luggage, guide them to the correct path. All of this is from ihsan. Now, the ihsan, regarding the worship of Allah, the worship here covers physical worship, like Salah, like Siyam, and covers financial worship, like offering the sacrifices, charity. All of these worships must be done as if all of these worship of Allah must be done as if one is seeing Him, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said. So worship done in this way, as if one is actually seeing Allah, is worship that is accompanied by yearning and seeking. And this is based upon sincerity. The person who bases his worship upon sincerity will not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show off or to be praised while believing that Allah sees him. And secondly, it must be based upon correctness of execution. So, the person prays. The prayer, while knowing well that Allah sees him. And so a person will find that his soul encourages him upon worship done in this way. Why? Because he is yearning for the one he loves. And thus he worships him as if he were seeing him. And he directs his heart to him. And turns to him. And seeks to draw near to him. He, Allah, the one free of all imperfections, the Most High. Our Shaykh Rahimahullah said, in discussing this part of the hadith, then even though you don't see him, then he certainly sees you. He said, this part shows worship done whilst fleeing and fearing, and is therefore the second level of ihsan. So if you don't worship Allah as if you are seeing him and seeking him, and your soul is encouraging you towards him, then worship him keeping in mind that he sees you. So you will then worship him as one who fears him and seeks to flee from his retribution and punishment. And this level is held by those having knowledge of these affairs to be lower than the first level. Meaning that worshipping him, keeping in mind that he sees you, this is general. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all creation. But the highest one is the first one. Finding one's soul encouraging him upon worship, yearning and seeking Allah as if he is seeing him, directing his heart to him, turning to him, seeking to draw near to him. This is the highest when compared with the second one, which is keeping in mind that he sees you. This is general, because Allah sees all creation. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, worship of the Most Merciful is utmost love of him, along with the worshipper's submission and humility, they are its two pillars. So worship is based upon these two matters, utmost love and utmost humility and submission. Love causes one to desire and seek, and humility causes one to fear and flee. We'll repeat. Love causes one to desire and seek, and humility causes one to fear and flee. And this is the ihsan in the worship of Allah. This is the ihsan in the worship of Allah. If a person worships Allah in this manner, then he will become one who is pure and sincere in his worship of Allah. He will not desire with his worship that he is seen by the people or heard of, nor will he desire their praise. It will be the same to him whether people notice him or don't notice him. In this way, the believer will worship with ihsan in every condition. It is part of the completion of purity and sincerity of worship, which is al-ikhlas. That a person should seek not to be seen by the people when he worships, and that his worship should be secret between him and Allah. Of course, this is unless there is some benefit for the Muslims or for Islam in his performing it openly. For example, if he is a person who is followed and taken as an example, and he wishes to manifest his worship to the people so that they should take it as an example to follow, or that he manifests his worship so that his companions, his friends and associates should follow his example, then this is good. In fact, this could be more excellent and greater than the benefit of keeping it hidden under these situations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised those who spend of their wealth in charity secretly and openly. So whenever performing it secretly is better and more beneficial for the heart, and causes one to be more humble and submissive, and to turn to Allah more attentively, then they give it in secret. But when performing it openly produces benefit for Islam, due to manifestation of its prescribed practices, and will mean that the people follow this person's example, then they do this openly. So, therefore, in conclusion, the believer looks to what is more or most appropriate. Whatever is most appropriate and most beneficial in worship, then it will be what is most complete and most excellent. The author here left this level of ihsan, the third level, to the end here. Why? Because it is most restricted of the three levels. And the three levels are Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Why? Because the people of Ihsan are the purest of the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, of the righteous slaves of Allah. And that's why the ulama say, if Ihsan is established, then Iman and Islam is established. And every muhsin is mu'min and Muslim. But not necessarily that every Muslim believer is a muhsin. Some of the ulama described or illustrated these levels in the example of three circles: a larger one, and a middle one, and a small one. The largest being the circle of Islam, because the people of Islam are more than the people of Iman. A person may be apparently a Muslim, but not mu'min. So the greatest circle, or the largest one, most accommodating, is that of Islam. Inside it is the circle of Iman. and the smallest being that of Ihsan. Anyone who is inside these three circles, then he is a Muslim and a Mu'min and a Muhsin. So anyone who is inside these three circles, and he, if he is not in the smallest one, meaning that of Ihsan, then he is a Mu'min Muslim. And if he is outside the second circle, then he is a Muslim on the apparent, not a Mu'min. And by all means, he is not a Muhsin. So the people of Ihsan are the purest of the righteous believers. And that's why they were described in the Quran by qualities not mentioned about others. As the author had cited the verse in Surah An-Nahl 16:128, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Truly Allah is with those who fear Him, keep their duty unto Him, and those who are muhsinun. In this there is evidence for the merits of the people of Ihsan, those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal and don't abandon His obligations and don't indulge in doing what is forbidden. And this word of Allah, when He says Allah is with, this with, which is known as Al-Ma'iyyah, this with is the with of victory and help, something extra to the general ma'iyyah. And the saying of Allah the Most High, ma'iyyah meaning being with or companionship. And the saying of Allah in the second verse which the author cited, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ, in Surah Al-Shu'ara 26:217-220, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And put your trust in Allah, in the Almighty, the Most Merciful, who sees you when you stand up alone at night for tahajjud prayers, and your movements among those who fall prostrate. These verses are evidence for Ihsan. In the saying of Allah, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ, who sees you when you stand up. Allah Azza wa Jal commands His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put trust in Him, in Allah, in all of His affairs. Because Allah is Aziz, Almighty. None can overcome Him. And Rahim, most merciful towards the believers of His slaves. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, who sees you when you stand up, when you stand to the prayers at night, alone. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ, and your movements among those who fall prostrating. So he is with you, hearing and seeing. Then he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the all-hearer, all-knower. Because the one who hears every sound, and the one who knows everything about all movements, about still things and moving things, then it's all fitting for the believer to put trust in him. That's why he began by saying, and put your trust in the Almighty. And ended up by saying, all hearer, all knower. Furthermore, in the verse which the author, rahimahullah, cited, وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ, in Surah Yunus, in 10:61, وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ. This verse also is evidence for ihsan. Whatever you may be doing, and whatever portion you may be reciting from the Quran, and whatever deed you mankind may be doing, good or evil, we are witness thereof when you are doing it. This is evidence for ihsan. Remember, because ihsan is worshipping Allah as if you see Him, then even though you don't see Him, then He certainly sees you. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing is hidden from your Lord. So, any thing done by you or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and your ummah as well, except that we are witnesses over it. Hearing your saying, seeing your actions. These evidences are from the Quran. And as from the Sunnah, the author, rahimahullah, cited the great hadith, which is known by some of the scholars as the mother of the Sunnah. The hadith, as the Fatiha, is known as the mother of the book. The hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, the well-known hadith of Jibreel, which was reported by Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said, بَيْنَ مَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمْ إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ شَدِيدُ بَيَاضِ الثِّيَابِ شَدِيدُ سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. Whilst we were sitting in the presence of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, one day a man came to us having very white clothes and very black hair. No trace of having traveled was to be seen upon him, nor did any of us know him. حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. So he came and sat down with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and put his knees against his knees and placed his palms upon his thighs and said, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. قال صدقت. فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه. So Allah's Messenger said, Islam is that you testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Establish the prayer, pay the zakah, fast Ramadan, and perform Hajj pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. He said, you have spoken the truth. So we were amazed at him, asking him a question and then saying that he had spoken the truth. قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان. So he said, then inform me about إيمان, about faith. قال, he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. It is that you truly believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and that you truly believe in the pre-decree, it's good and it's bad. He said, قال, this man said, فأخبرني عن الإحسان. Or said, he said, صدقت, you have spoken the truth. Then he said, فأخبرني عن الإحسان. Then tell me about إحسان. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه, فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. This is the point of evidence. He said, then inform me about إحسان. He said, it is that you worship Allah as if you were seeing Him. And though you don't see Him, then He certainly sees you. Truly He sees you. He said, قال فأخبرني عن الساعة. قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. He said, then inform me of the last hour. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, the one who is asked about it knows no better than the one who is asking. He said, قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها. Then inform me about its signs. قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. He said that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and that you will see the barefooted, unclothed, and destitute shepherds competing in the building of tall buildings. قال فمضى فلبسنا مليا. He said, so he left and we remained for some time. Then he صلى الله عليه وسلم asked, يا عمر أتدري من السائل. يا عمر أتدري من السائل. O عمر, do you know who the questioner was? قلت, عمر said, I said, الله ورسوله أعلم. Allah and His Messenger know best. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم أمر دينكم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that was Jibreel. He came to teach you. He came to you to teach you your deen, your religion. This hadith, as Ibn Daqiq al-Aid rahimahullah said in his explanation on the 40 Nawawi hadith, هذا حديث عظيم. This is a great hadith. قد اشتمل على جميع وظائف الأعمال الظاهرة والباطنة. A great hadith that comprises all the actions, the apparent and the hidden. وعلوم الشريعة كلها راجعة إليه ومتشعبة منه. And all the knowledge of Sharia, the علوم, all refer to it as a reference and branches from it, because لما تضمنه من جمعه علم السنة, because of what it comprised from the knowledge of the Sunnah. فهو كالأم للسنة. It is like the mother to the Sunnah. كما سميت Al-Fatiha to Ummul Quran, just as the opening chapter of Al-Fatiha is called Ummul Quran, the mother of the book. لِمَا تَضَمَّنَتْهُ مِنْ جَمْعِهَا مَعَانِ الْقُرْآنِ, because it being comprising the entire meaning of the Quran. And inshallah ta'ala, this will be the subject of the discussion in the next talk. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.